Hey there, welcome to This Truth Talk. My name is Jessica Hoddle and I'm your host. Today we're going to be having a real and raw conversation about suffering and joy, and our special guest is Bethany Hicks.
You are listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a wife, author, speaker, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Each week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live.
What I love about Bethany is that she writes and she speaks about topics that impact the heart and mind day in and day out. I love that she has a deep passion for helping women strengthen their voice by focusing on authenticity, faith, and purpose. And today's conversation with Bethany is just that. We talk about holding suffering and joy together. I think that we hear this term a lot, but we're like, what does it mean and how do we do that? And so we talk about this idea of having boundaries in suffering and joy. We talk about healing. We talk about how to create and hold space for people in suffering. And I think it's just this beautiful picture of Jesus and what he does for us, what he did for us, what God does for us, and this being able to walk it out. And so if today, if you've wanting to know how to bring suffering and joy together, if you are feeling weary, if you are just needing some encouragement in your walk, if you need to hear about boundaries and what that looks like in healing, then this podcast episode is for you. Make sure you head to the link below because you'll be able to sign up, get the show notes, email directly to your inbox so that you have all the links for today's show. So I recommend even doing that now before you hit play so that in your email, you'll have all the notes and links that you need right when you open up your inbox. Let's go ahead and get to today's show. Bethany, I'm so excited that you're here with us today to talk about suffering and joy. First, though, I want to talk about your 2 degrees. I did not realize that you have, a sociology degree and a criminology degree?
Yes, with a minor in English and psychology.
So basically, you're pretty smart.
Like, I used to be really smart. Now it's I can throw around big words and hold my feet in a conversation, but you know,
I love
not
that.
As smart, but yeah.
No, I think you got wisdom, girl. You're good. You're good. Today we're going to be talking about this idea of suffering and joy, and what I wanted to talk about is let's break them down. You know, let's talk about suffering, let's talk about joy, and then let's talk about how they both go together. So let's start first with suffering.
Well, let's go with the definition. It's unpleasant. And a state of pain. Mm-hmm. And people suffer in a lot of different types of ways. So it can be illness within your body, your mind. It can be duress. And it's generally over a prolonged period of time. And so usually when people think about suffering, they think about the entire book of Job. Just really drawing it out. Like we're really going to draw his story out. But that's kind of with suffering. The other side of that is joy, which I always think about it being abundance. Mm-hmm. The thing that triggers happiness, warmth, glee, and it's a response to positive things happening and generally is a form of overflow, right? That feeling of overflow within. So that's kind of how I would define those. I don't know if you would say anything different or add something to it.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I think even suffering, we don't realize it's more like the long term. Like you said, sometimes we hear suffering and pain. Words are easily interchangeable. But they very much have different definitions and meanings. Yes. And so I love that you said that it's more long-term or over time, I should say, versus maybe a pain that you felt like, you know, you hit your elbow or you broke your elbow. Like, you know, just something that is more temporary. And I love that the joy really is the overflow. And we find joy in the Lord of who he is and what he does, not just in what he's done, I should say. And not just like in circumstance. And that's helped me distinguish the two of like happiness is very, wow, today I'm really happy because it's sunny, right? And warm versus, you know, joy where it is cloudy and rainy, and I'm still going to wake up and have joy. So those that's how I look at it too.
I love that. I love that.
Let's talk about combining them now, because like they're so separate and we hear this so much now, suffering and joy. Let's hold the tension of the two. But I don't think we talk often enough about how to do that. How do we walk in the overflow as we're dealing with something of pain?
Well, I think when people think about joy, it's not necessarily the opposite or absence of, right? Joy doesn't have to be connected to anything. It is separate and apart. And so when we talk about holding the tension between the two, we can look in, I believe it's Hebrew 12 and 2, where the Bible starts talking about joy in Jesus and what that looked like. And even before he went onto the cross and he looked into the cup, God put a plate of joy before him, and that's what sustained him, right? Even in his suffering, that he could hold on to joy in the anticipation of what God said he would do, which is he's going to rise on the third day. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there is this, to hold it, you have to not connect it to the pain, not feel like it has to replace the suffering or the situation or circumstance, that even still, despite what's in front of you, even still, you can have an abundance of appreciation and understanding and overflow. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for people to get their heads around, because they're like, well, wait a minute, how can I have joy, but I'm going through kind of this tough situation and circumstance? Mm-hmm. And I think it's because sometimes people can, I know I have connected the two, that in order to have joy, I can have absolutely no suffering in my life. Mm-hmm. Because really what it is it's a refreshing of the Lord in spite of trouble. So a biblical definition with joy, as I see it, is in spite of the trouble, it is a refreshing wave of refreshment from the Lord.
Mm-hmm. I love that you say refreshment. And I just kind of, I pictured a tug of war, you know, one person on one side, one person on the other side. And we, and I love how you use that example of it's not attached, because I think that we often sit in that tug of war where joy's on one side, suffering's on the other, and we're trying to figure out which one's going to win. And, you know, like, so we're pulling on suffering or pulling on joy versus like, I can have joy in suffering. And I think that the beautiful example that you said was refreshment. Something that always helps me is just like the simple thing of like, God, I know you got my back. So like, you know, like the simplest of things, I'm like, okay,
like, I got it.
Yeah. Like, you're going to give me back 100-fold, 7-fold, like whatever the enemy keeps trying to take from me, or like, you know, and I say enemy, whether it's through people or situations or circumstances, I'm always like, okay, this really sucks and I'm really mad or I'm really upset or whatever. But then the joy comes, and that's where I kind of find the joy of, in one sense of like, I know, okay, like it's good. It's always good. This is bad, but you're good. You didn't cause the bad. Like, and so we can hold that in tension together. So I love that.
And it's the anticipation of what God has said in his word that he is going to do. He's not going to forsake you. He's going to deliver you. Mm-hmm. He goes before you. That's great. He's walking with you. He's walking simultaneously in front of you, beside you, and healing what's behind you. And that's where that wave of refreshment can kind of come in, where it's like, even still.
I think a prayer that we often pray is like, God be near, God, you know, all of those things, but we forget that he's already near. And so sometimes I think we just need to pray, like, show me like you, be like, help me be aware, because we're praying prayers that he's already promised. So sometimes I think we need to just pray the prayers of like the awareness, the opening, the like, show me where you are right now. Like, I know that you're
right
here.
Right now.
Yeah.
One of the prayers that I prayed, because these are all lessons learned. These are not things that I went through in my own personal valley before, but they're things I'm applying now. But in the past, I had prayed, Lord, show me what you see in my valley. I want to see what you see, because you've already told me that you're going to deliver me.
Yeah.
You've already told me that you're not going to forsake me. So I want to understand what pruning is happening in a situation that is maybe pruning. In some situations, I mean, people's valleys, let's be frank, can be abuse, addiction, tell me what you see, Lord, as I'm walking through this. Cause I just see a hot mess and I want out of here.
Yeah.
And it's that type of prayer that slowed me down when I was trying to sprint through my valley and sprint through my healing.
Mm-hmm. I often see that in my life too, of like when something's going like crazy or the sin and its consequences, I've made a decision or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, okay, what I often see, and I don't always find it right there in that moment, of a character that he's kind of pruning of me, like pride or self-righteousness or, you know, the entitlement, like all these things come for me that I'm like, okay, got it. That's where I was wrong. Got it. That sucked. I didn't want to learn it that way. And again, it's this idea that we kind of hold both, like the bad and the good, you know. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to suffering and joy, I love to talk about boundaries, because I call them kind of spheres of influence. Jesus had them, but I like number one, the tier of number one, right? We have those people that can speak in, they have permission to speak in. And as it goes down, we should have those boundaries kind of more.
Yeah.
We should have boundaries altogether, even in this top sphere. But absolutely. You say this phrase, I'm going to let you say it. And can you explain what it means and what that looks like practically?
So the phrase I use for boundaries is this far and no further. And it is an internal calculation that you make where you tell people, this is how much permission you have to come into my sphere, to pour into my heart and my mind, what deposits you're allowed to make and not make. And that changes based off of relationship and person. But you are responsible, as you are responsible for saying, you actually don't get to go this far anymore. I'll give you a personal example. So I was married for 10 years. And when I got divorced, I didn't even think about it until maybe 6 months after, because I was still in the rhythm of treating my husband as though he's entitled to certain information and certain things. And I had to, and it was taxing on my mind and it was wearing me down. And I had to like pause and go, wait a minute, you actually don't get to come this far anymore. Like, this is where I'm comfortable. Yeah. This is the space you play. And had to have a conversation with it or conversation about it with him. I'm not going to say whether or not that went well or not, but because sometimes I'm just being like, sometimes people jump into a fence because they go, well, what's wrong with me? They feel bad in some situations. Like you're saying, there's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
But it's really about protecting your own heart and mind is really what that's kind of about.
Mm-hmm. I really think it honors both people, whether they realize it or not. You are so probably honoring your husband of saying, look, your ex-husband, you know, we are separated. This is going to honor you and you're going to realize it. Maybe not now, but, you know, and right now I'm honoring me. And I think that's a great example. And that can kind of go into any like conversation, like you said, but
colleagues, anybody.
You said it though, responsibility. And that is something I feel like people hate that word personally. And I feel like it's because it makes us feel like we like to point the finger more than take responsibility.
Yeah, I think this is my opinion on responsibility. People don't want responsibility because they don't want the accountability.
Yeah.
Because to take responsibility for your own behavior, actions, how you talk to people, how you show up, means that you actually have to take accountability for that. And those two things are very different, but they're also very intertwined.
Yep.
And there's an acknowledgement that happens when you take accountability.
Yeah.
Right? People don't want any part of that because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. And it takes work and it takes a lot of self-awareness, no matter what the situation is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, if I say something to my husband and it hurts his feelings, like it's my responsibility and accountability, right, to go to him and say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. You know, I don't just get to say what I want to say despite of. And so I think that that is important. And I think when it comes to healing, I wanted you to explain that just because sometimes we have to put those boundaries up in healing so that we can heal. Because too many voices start to go and we go, I should feel shame, or maybe I shouldn't feel shame. And we start to get people that agree with what we feel versus maybe challenge what we feel. And so do you feel like it's really important to have boundaries when you're healing?
Yes. So, and depending on the level of healing, so I'm going to go all the way over to very traumatic situations. My personal opinion is someone who went through very significant trauma and suffered from abuse, I had to create space to hear God. And I had to drown out the noise that came with the past, the noise of everyone else's opinions, thoughts, and perspectives. Because what would happen is their voices would be amplified over God's voice.
Yeah.
And I couldn't heed his direction. Even when I would pray, like there was, because I was just bruised and battered. So even when I would pray, it was more declarations and statements because there was just so much in my head. And so people absolutely have to set aside time for God to heal them and pour back into their cup. And that doesn't take, like, sometimes it's not going to be in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes it takes years.
Yeah.
It takes years. And then be very selective around who you receive direction from. Yeah. Because people are sharing with you their perspective, their point of view, and their emotions are involved.
Mm-hmm. And I realize it takes a lot of intentionality.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes the old phrase that people used to say, well, time will heal. Just you have let time go by. And I'm like,
no,
that doesn't work. Like I've met people 40 years later that they relive the trauma as if it happened yesterday. So that proves to us time doesn't heal. It's intentionality in that time, which I think really leads me to this next question of how do we create space? How do we be the person, like you said, that is giving advice or giving a voice of opinion of somebody else's pain and joy or suffering and joy? So how does that person that wants to give advice to somebody that's in a different season than them, how do we hold space for them?
Remind them of the truth and who they are and whose they are. Because mm-hmm. even for a non-believer who is suffering, you can look at them and tell them, you were created for purpose. God knew you before you were born.
Yeah.
He is willing to heal. I mean, so this is for the believer and non-believer. And it is so critical and important that people understand and are reminded that there is something after the pain, that you can reach for joy presently, and that will pull you through. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do. I don't necessarily try and I use empathy.
Yeah.
But I also I'm not overly apologetic for maybe what happened to the person versus, okay, but this is who you are. Because once a conversation is done and they move on in those quiet moments when they're alone, that's when those words are most important. Mm-hmm. When they're bogged down in their mind with shame, disappointment, regret, concerned about what to do next. Who am I?
Yeah, I often ask questions. That's one of my biggest things is creating space because it allows them to think deeper for themselves. So if I'm asking mm-hmm. questions about what are they going through, what are they struggling with, what are they wrestling with God or life or whatever, it actually allows them to process out loud and they don't even realize they're doing it. And that allows me to give them space because I'm not trying to fix them. I'm just asking them questions that help them come to the conclusion almost themselves, you know, of this idea of like, wow, I don't know. I've never thought about that before. I've never asked myself that question before, which I think helps as well. And I think I've had to learn because I'm a fixer. I want to be a fixer. Like, you're suffering. Let me fix you.
Let me get in there. Like, let me get in.
And I'm like, actually, here's your problem. That's what I want to say. You know, like, actually, here's your problem.
Yeah. Let's break it. Let's break it down.
Yeah. And so I've had to learn to hold that space of, okay, Jess, like, it just happened before this podcast interview. I was talking with a friend and I had to hold space. I was like, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? Cause I knew what was going on, but I wanted her to because for me to tell her, it's not going to be as powerful as if she came to that conclusion herself.
Oh, I completely agree.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
what would you like to leave the audience with? Like, what, I say steps, but we love steps, right? Like 1, 2, 3. What would be the best tip or advice though, that you could charge somebody with now to move in suffering and joy and know that it's not long-term? Like you get to move in joy, right? And that suffering can be place of visitation and not a place of habitation.
Right.
And so what would you like to leave the listeners with?
Well, the first thing I would say is pause. So anytime we're experiencing suffer, pain, hurt, we want to rush through it, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes when we do that, we miss God.
Yeah.
It's one thing to see him in the rearview mirror and be like, oh my gosh, he was with me the whole time. Mm. It's a completely different thing to pause and allow him to carry you. Because in the carrying, he's carrying your hope, your joy, your pain, your suffering, your weariness. So I always like to tell people just pause, as painful as that may be. Mm. Second is have an understanding of truth. Who does God say you are? Right? Who does he say you are? Not what other people say you are, not what the situation in front of you, like if you've lost material possessions, but who does God say you are? And then the third thing I would say, remember, there's something very powerful about having a point of reference and remembering what God has done, because you're at that point of reference will tell you what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. Not only what the Bible says, but also you have experience. He's proven in your life that he will help you overcome.
Mm. Yeah.
And so those are probably the three things I would say that are really practical for someone who is suffering, but trying to cling to that joy. Mm. And I would also say for them to read the story of Jesus right before he went on the cross. Mm.
I think pausing is huge, and we don't give ourselves that space to pause and just mm-mm. actually ask ourselves, like, why is my heart racing? Why am I sweating through my favorite yeah. shirt? You know, like, why are my palms sweating? And just giving us that moment of going, oh, this is the suffering side that kind of coming up, and then in being able to work through that. And when you're talking about identity, I often, and knowing what he says versus anybody else is, do you know why you believe what you believe? You know, like, why do you yeah. believe that about yourself? Or why do you believe that about God? Or what do you believe about God? And I had to go through that journey of like, who is God to me? Not what anybody else, like, yeah, everybody says he's good and he's great and he's wonderful, but do I believe that?
Yes.
And so that was like, very eye-opening, because I was like, okay, maybe I need to work through that, you know, that situation. So Bethany, thank you so much for just sharing your wisdom. And I love your Instagram. I love what you put out. Guys, she has beautiful stories with this like beautiful like music. So like, you're going to have to just go hang out with her and you'll see what I mean. So
where can we
find you, Bethany?
So two places. My Way with Words, both on Instagram, and Jesus Led Bible Fed.
Okay.
That's where you can find me, or my website.
I'll make sure I have all the show notes below too, or the links in the show notes and everything that you'll be able to subscribe and get them to you right away. So again, thank you, Bethany, and I appreciate you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode with Bethany. I pray it encouraged you. We had a great time. I loved having this conversation with her. And I love the visual that she said that joy does not have to be attached to suffering. And we often try to do this tug of war with each of them, like I explained. And so maybe now I just pray that you have a little bit of freedom to hold both of them at the same time, because I truly believe that suffering is a place of visitation, not a place of habitation. We have suffering in this world. We have persecution, but we also get to live in joy in the Lord and what he does and who he is and what he continues to do in our life. Again, to get the show notes, to get the outline, to get links directly emailed to your inbox, head to the link below. And as always, challenge the way you think to change the way you live.